Hello, everyone, and welcome to Main Menu this week. This week, we have President and CEO of IRTI, and today, we're going to talk all about DAISY. That's right. What is it, and what is IRTI offering you, the Main Menu listener, new, especially coming up here in 2007? Hello, Peter. How are you doing?
Doing very good today. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you, and especially the day after Christmas even. That's pretty amazing.
Well, it's a nice quiet day here at IRTI, and we have an opportunity to chat.
That's right, that's right. And my kids are out playing their new Nintendo Wii, and so it's nice and quiet here in the studio, so it's a perfect opportunity today.
Excellent.
All right. So how are things going at IRTI?
Well, we've been very, very busy working on our DAISY tools and services, which is quite a passion around here. Matter of fact, we had just finished up 6 months of accelerated research and development, supported in part by a grant awarded to IRTI from the National Institute of Health, and we're just very pleased to have that type of funding support because it allows us to move our technology forward in this very important area of technology.
That's right. Well, for those who may not be as up to date as some of us are in reference to, you know, maybe using Bookshare and other related technologies, what the heck is DAISY anyway?
Well, DAISY stands for Digital Accessible Information System. And really what it is a technology for accessible media that allows the synchronization of text and audio with the ability to navigate and annotate the media. And that may sound a little bit complicated. However, it's really quite simple. And what I like to do is to relate a DAISY digital talking book back to things that we're familiar with, such as our talking book tape players or even just a consumer CD player. On a tape player, we had audio tracks, and on those tracks, on many of the books, there were pages and headings marked with beep tones, and the way you could search out sections of a book or document recorded onto tape was just cueing and reviewing through the tape until you found a beep tone, and it would give you some orientation. In the DAISY technology, we don't use analog tape. We use various forms of digital audio files. The audio file might be a WAV file or an MP3 file. And in addition to those files, there are DAISY synchronization files that mark navigation points on the audio file. So on a DAISY player, you would be basically reviewing a table of contents, which would point to a specific point in time in the audio file. And if you select that point on the DAISY navigation control file or the table of contents, it would jump to that point. It gives the reader the experience and the ability to navigate a book much in the way a sighted person would, where you could peruse the chapters of a book or even subsections. You can do features like jump directly to a page number, which is extremely useful if you're a student and the professor announces to the class, go to page 202 of your history book. You can just simply select the go to page feature, type in 202, and boom, you're there. So the DAISY media provides some great advantages in being able to navigate and annotate a talking book.
Well, that's great. And so now, what areas is DAISY being used right now? I know that it's, for example, available on Bookshare. and I think it's even being used in some other pretty high-profile environments. Is that right?
Well, yeah. The two primary sources of media today are in the U.S. anyway, would be Bookshare and Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic. Recording for the Blind, for many, many years, has offered textbooks in a talking book format, and has migrated with the changing technologies over the years. Bookshare is a newer service that also offers Daisy Media. It's offered in a different way. Daisy Media actually comes in a number of styles, which could include text only, so it's a text document with the ability to navigate the text, or text and audio. So Recording for the Blind right now is focusing on, as they always have, text and audio books. And they're distributed on CD, where Bookshare does text-only Daisy books, and that's distributed via their membership online web service. These are the sources of traditional talking book formats that are available today, and the Library of Congress is also headed in that direction, but are not quite releasing media to date. It's important to know that, and actually is a little bit confusing for some people at this time. There's actually a couple of different Daisy standards, and then there is also a couple of different book types. So if you hear somebody talking about a Daisy 2 reader or player, that is a Daisy standard. But you may also hear somebody talking about a Daisy book type. And again, the types refer to whether there's text, text and audio, text only. So it's important to know a little bit about the differences. It does affect what type of playback device you might use.
Now, I know that the Library of Congress has started a beta program, of which many people have been invited to participate in beta testing their downloadable content. Now, is that content also in Daisy as well?
My understanding, yes it is, and again, getting down to the standards, the first standard used in Europe was the Daisy 2, or Daisy 1 and Daisy 2 standard. In the United States, there is a next generation standard that's called Daisy NISO, and so, yes, it is in the Daisy NISO format, and will be available, I believe, in text and also text and audio type formats as well.
Well, okay. Wow. That's so blind deaf consumers should be able to read this content with a Braille display, for example.
Well, yeah, that again is one of the real exciting things about the Daisy Media. Is it really is a bridge between the visual reader and the tactile reader and the non-visual reader, because you have the ability to synchronize both the audio of a digital talking book and synchronized with the text. That text can be displayed in a variety of manners. It could be, for instance, if you were using a note-taking device that had a Daisy player in it, you could actually read it in Braille format and navigate and benefit from all the navigation features that Daisy has to offer. In my opinion, and many other people's opinion, it's just simply a better way to read and a better way to offer content. It has the benefits of being a multimedia format, and will benefit all of us.
Do you think that this will eventually end up in the, you know, non-AT sector, you know, in reference to being used outside of, you know, the AT industry?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, although IRTI is working with the traditional services, as we have for many years with our talking book tape players, and now DAISY technology, and will continue to do so. Another focus we have right now is really bringing DAISY technology to the mainstream, and we're doing that through making available DAISY production tools and DAISY distribution technology, which we can talk a little bit more about later.
Interesting. So it would be kind of fascinating to see something like the iPod move toward, you know, a audio book platform based on DAISY.
Well, it could be the iPod. There are DAISY players in phones available right now.
Oh, that's
interesting. You know, I could envision there are many media services right now delivering content of all types directly to people's cell phones, which is becoming a very popular, you know, all-purpose PDA type device. And again, that's the part of the beauty of DAISY talking book technology, is it lends itself for use on a whole variety of hardware and software devices.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's talk about how do we actually read and play this content. You know, what kind of tools and software do we need to do that? What do you guys offer at IRTI that fulfills that requirement?
Well, there are two primary ways to access DAISY media. One would be on some sort of computer or PDA device, using a software application. IRTI has offered for a number of years now a software DAISY reader called Eclipse Reader. We're now in the process of beta testing our third version of Eclipse Reader. Again, Eclipse Reader and other software DAISY players allows you to access various book types. Eclipse Reader includes the ability to add bookmarks, to associate text notes with your bookmarks. We also have study features in there for students that allow you to review your bookmarks and notes presented to you as an outline.
Okay.
And you're also able to export your bookmarks and notes. The latest advances in Eclipse Reader version 3 is we've basically, originally it was a DAISY 2 playback device specifically developed to support RFBND audiobooks, and we've recently have broadened its use to where it plays all of the current DAISY standards, DAISY 2, DAISY 3, and DAISY NISO formats. It also now supports the Bookshare text-only formats available from Bookshare.org. And as I said, we're currently in a private beta on this, which is going very, very well, and we hope to make it available in just a few short weeks. There are also hardware DAISY devices that offer many of the features that the software devices offer. Most hardware devices are designed to play an audio DAISY book. For instance, the Plextalk PTN1 Pro, which is offered by Recording for the Blind and Dyslexic, is an outstanding CD player. It plays MP3, standard music CDs, and DAISY CDs.
Okay.
It has a keypad layout that allows you to navigate by chapter, subsection, phrase. You can navigate by time. You can also go to a specific page. This type of audio device, it's a little bit larger than a consumer DAISY CD player because it has a very high energy speaker built into the playback device. It does have built-in rechargeable batteries and is quite portable for a slimline desktop style DAISY device.
Now, Peter, can those batteries be changed out, or does it have to come back to, you know, the manufacturer?
They can actually be replaced in the field. There's a little door on the bottom of the PTN one. I think there's one screw holding it in, and you can remove a little battery pack and drop a new battery pack in. IRTI is the national support and service center for Plextor DAISY products. That would include the PTR1, the PTR2, and the PTN1. And replacement parts, service, and tech support is available through our 800 line.
How much is the PTN1?
I believe the PTN1 is $349.
Okay.
In that general area. It's definitely a little bit more expensive than a standard consumer CD player, and there's a number of reasons for that. It has a really nice slot load CD mechanism that allows you to insert the CD, which is drawn into the device. Again, it has a very high energy speaker, and for these portable audio devices, you really should think of them as a little embedded computer. There's quite a powerful RISC processor in there that's used to parse the DAISY data and allow you to navigate the book. It's quite sophisticated on its internals.
Yeah, because it really does have to go out and look at the XML data that's comprised in there and determine, okay, you know, where are the sections and how do I get to them. And yeah, I would bet that it's not a trivial, you know, it's not like your Walmart $39.95 CD player.
No, it's quite a powerful device. Other types of hardware DAISY playback devices include a very unique device called the Book Courier. The Book Courier is a device. Excuse me, its predecessor was the Roadrunner, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The Book Courier not only has the ability to play and navigate audio media, but also is a great playback device for Bookshare documents. What's unique about the Book Courier that differentiates itself from a CD player, the CD players that are available, is it has a built-in synthesizer for speech that converts text documents into synthetic speech.
Right, that's using DoubleTalk, right?
It's using the DoubleTalk speech, which I think is an outstanding speech technology for the money. And combining that text reading capability as well as audio playback capability in a portable solid state device is very, very convenient. To use the Book Courier, you actually do need a computer, a Windows-based computer of some sort, because the computer is used to transfer either the audio book or the text book from the computer into the Book Courier. It does that through a USB cable and some transfer software, and then you can unplug and go portable. And the Book Courier actually has a very similar keyboard layout to many of the Daisy players. It's laid out in a telephone number pad type configuration, mm-hmm. and offers many of the similar features to the hardware Daisy players as well.
Now, I know we haven't talked about this at all, really, but I thought I'd go ahead and ask because I know some people may want to know. Have you heard what kind of advancements are going to be coming in the Book Courier?
Specifically, no. I have not really been brought up to date on the engineering technology going on at Springer
right.
Design at this time.
Okay.
I do know that there is a cousin to the Book Courier, which is the Book Port offered by APH.
Right.
And they seem
both made by Springer.
Yes, the hardware is.
Right.
And I believe APH is doing the firmware and software updates, and they seem to be quite prolific in adding updates and features for that product.
Yeah.
The Book Courier, I kind of view as more of a basic media player. You're not going to find it doing things like note-taking features and whatnot in the current version. The Book Courier does play quite a broad range of media. It's an accessible MP3 player. It plays Audible.com books, which is a wonderful service to participate in. It does Daisy 2.02 audio currently, and it does Bookshare media. So it's quite a versatile little media, portable media device.
Yeah, doesn't it also do web braille books as well?
I believe, yes, it will do e-braille, I think is what they refer to it as at Springer. So you could bring in a braille document. Obviously, it would translate that into ASCII text and then use the DoubleTalk speech synthesizer
right.
to speak that media.
And the nice thing about those two devices, that being the Book Courier and the Book Port, is the battery life is outstanding.
Yeah, it's around 40 hours, I believe, on two AA batteries.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Except, and of course, if you're like me, of course, and you take those things to bed with you to read books, and you fall asleep and don't turn it off. And then,
Well, but you can always navigate back to near where you left off.
If you remember, yes.
If you remember.
That's the problem. All right. Well, Peter, let's now focus back on the software side of things, and let's talk about, first of all, what is the cost of Eclipse Reader?
Eclipse Reader is available from IRTI in a variety of packages. It can be purchased by itself under the product name Eclipse Reader LT, standing for the light version of Eclipse Reader, and what that means is it plays any open source or non-protected Daisy book. It also has a built-in text reader. And again, the latest version supports Bookshare, Daisy 2, Daisy 3, Daisy NISO 2005 media. The price of Eclipse Reader LT is $59.95. We also package it with NeoSpeech voices Kate and Paul, which is a wonderful upgrade to Eclipse Reader. Again, if you're using it to read text documents or Bookshare books, using the NeoSpeech voices is a really nice upgrade and provides a very pleasant human-like or more human-like reading environment. I use Eclipse Reader quite a bit for using text documents. We have some great navigation features for navigating text, and all the bookmarking and note-taking features work on text documents just as they do in a Daisy book. If you're an RFBND member, we recommend that you purchase Eclipse Reader direct from RFBND. They offer Eclipse Reader bundled with NeoSpeech. IRTI sells this package at $99, and RFBND offers this package, which supports RFBND books and at a discounted price for their members at $84.95. If you're a school or an organization, there are also lab packages for Eclipse Reader in 5 packs and 10 packs that can greatly reduce the cost of the product. One important note about Eclipse Reader is it is a multi-user application. It can be operated in a single-user mode or a multi-user mode. The multi-user feature is very important and powerful in an office or lab environment where multiple people would be using a single computer. It allows one to log in under their own username. All the audio and visual preferences that you set are stored and are remembered associated with the new username. Your books library is associated with your username, and all of your bookmarks and notes are associated with your username. So it's a very efficient tool for using in a multi-user environment. Also, Eclipse Reader comes bundled, Eclipse Reader LT comes bundled with our production tools. We have a product called Eclipse Writer, personal edition, and we include Eclipse Reader in with that bundle as well.
Now, one of the things that you and I discussed was the NeoSpeech that you ship is a little bit different than some of the other AT vendors. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there's two ways to implement NeoSpeech with your software application. NeoSpeech can actually be kind of hardwired directly into your application and accessed using a custom interface. And when you implement it in that manner, the version of NeoSpeech that you ship typically is only usable by the product you purchase it with. And IRTI, what we chose to do is we purchase and distribute a license for NeoSpeech that's based on SAPI 5 technology. When you install it as a SAPI 5 voice, it actually becomes visible and usable by any software application that supports SAPI 5 synthetic speech. So programs like JAWS and WindowEyes that support both SAPI 4 and SAPI 5 can actually be configured to use the NeoSpeech voice that ships with Eclipse Reader.
We know a lot about, you know, obviously people are using DAISY to read content. And do you think there's a good reason that the individual might want to actually create DAISY material?
Well, there's the DAISY format lends itself for a lot of applications that one as an individual would be very, very interested in. Plextor created the PlexTalk PTR1 and then is followed on with a newer model called the PTR2. I really have to say the PlexTalk is probably my most favorite device we have here at IRTI. I use it extensively, not only for my personal use, but also in my professional life. Because DAISY has the ability to navigate audio media, it's a great tool as a note-taking device. With the PlexTalk PTR2, you can record in the music format, and you can record in DAISY format using either WAV audio or MP3. And while you're recording, you can use the heading or page markers to mark navigation points on the fly while you're recording. So, for instance, if I'm holding a staff meeting, rather than having a scribe furiously try to capture the important points of the meeting and jot down notes, we might run the PTR2 and just simply mark key points of the topics with a heading marker. Then later we would go back and navigate to those heading points and either take notes that way or bookmark and put audio notes in there into the bookmark, which is just a great way to take notes. We have many students and professionals using DAISY in this manner. We have students that are recording classes and lectures for note-taking purposes. We have professionals such as blind lawyers that are working with clients and recording and note-taking their meetings. So it's a great use for note-taking purposes. The other thing that's real important about the DAISY format, when you're using compressed audio technology such as MP3, is you have a tendency of putting a vast amount of audio media on a CD or a memory card, and having the ability to navigate that audio media actually makes it manageable and usable. It's important to note that the PlexTalk is completely self-voicing. There's no LCD. The menu system is self-voicing and was designed for visually impaired users from the ground up. This device is so accessible that even its connectors talk, which really, it really cracked me up the first time
wow,
I saw it. You know,
how
many times have you plugged a cable into the connector only to find out you selected the wrong one? Well, if you plug an audio cable into the line output, the line input, it'll even tell you that you've just plugged a cable into the line input, which I thought was incredibly clever.
Wow.
So it's quite an accessible device. So from a hardware standpoint, and as far as personal use, the PlexTalk PTR2, utilizing the DAISY format, really provides some wonderful capability.
So is the PTR1 now obsolete then?
Well, the PTR1, it's the differences in the PTR1 and the PTR2, in many ways, was really quite subtle. I think what spurred on the creation of the PTR2 was some changing consumer electronic standards over in Europe required the redesign of many consumer electronic devices.
Mm-hmm.
And the PlexTalk PTR2 was one of them. So what PlexTalk did was they took that opportunity to incorporate some feedback that had been coming in from the field. The PTR2 basically has two operation modes, where the PTR1 has one operation mode. They call that the book creator mode, and I can't really recall the exact name, but it's more of the normal mode, I think, is what they refer to it.
Okay.
So out of the box, the PTR2 acts more like a tape player or a mini disc recorder.
Okay.
For it allows one more of an intuitive recording environment to become familiar with the PTR2. And there is an alternate mode called book creator mode, which then makes the PTR2 operation identical to the PTR1. One of the things that they found was the more popular the PTR1 became, more and more people that were really not used to operating computer-like devices began using it, and they felt there was a need to create more of a basic operation mode. In the book creator mode, you gain the ability to do some very sophisticated editing right on the audio device. such as splitting phrases, deleting phrases, copying and pasting down to the phrase level.
Wow.
Although it's not difficult, it's a level of complexity that could confuse a basic operator from
sure.
the start.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they've added those features. The PTR2 includes a stereo built-in microphone where the PTR1 had a mono internal microphone. The original thought was this unit was used as a book creating device, Daisy
right.
book creating device, where you would never use or most likely not use a stereo format for recording voice. What has happened is people are not only using this device for Daisy book creation or note-taking devices, but they're also using it for their music applications. I have quite a few musicians that might be using it for recording a music rehearsal in their band. Leisure listeners are transferring a lot of their albums and tape over to digital CD device for personal use, so they enhance the stereo internal recording capabilities. Both the PTR2 and PTR1 have stereo line-in capabilities, and the microphone jack on the PTR2 is a stereo microphone jack where the internal the microphone jack on the PTR1 was a mono microphone jack, I believe. So that was an area that they've changed it. Besides that, they're very, very similar in operation.
Uh-huh.
Very, very reliable devices. Quite portable. And really a pleasure to use and operate.
We use them a lot for recording CSUN presentations, which we'll be doing again this next coming year.
Oh, they're great for doing interviews on the run like that,
yeah.
floating around trade shows and whatnot. You get a wonderful quality recording.
Yeah, it's amazing. You could sit in the back of a room and still get an extremely high quality recording of, you know, someone speaking in the front of the room. It's pretty incredible, actually.
Yeah, it really is. As I said, it's probably the preferred device that we have here at IRTI. We really enjoy that. Early on in our Daisy technology development, it became very apparent to IRTI that there really needed to be some cost-effective ways for all of us to create Daisy media, and the PTR2 and PTR1 was a great example of that. But it also sparked an interest in our software development, where we ended up creating Eclipse Writer Personal Edition, and the original purpose of Eclipse Writer Personal Edition was to allow an end user to take advantage of the Daisy format, creating their own media for personal use that could be played on their PlexTalk device or other Daisy playing devices. Eclipse Writer Personal Edition has two modes of operation. One is to just simply take pre-recorded audio files and you load them into a playlist, and you select the build book function, and what it does is it kind of daisy chains the audio files together with navigation information, so a Daisy playback device could take advantage of that media. And then one would be able to use the note-taking, bookmarking features of a Daisy player to study the media. We then became interested in text-audio conversion technologies and built a word processor into Eclipse Writer Personal Edition, which allows any of the supported audio document formats that include Word, text, HTML, RTF, rich text format, and even unlocked PDF files. And what it allows is for an end user to open up a text document, insert navigation points. The navigation points actually uses phrases within the text document, meaning the heading names or chapter names. And when you select the build book function, it converts the text into audio using a synthetic voice, and also simultaneously creates the DAISY navigation data, and if you choose to do so, even the DAISY display file. And again, the purpose of Eclipse Writer Personal Edition was to allow end users to maybe fill gaps if something was not currently available and they needed it to be in the DAISY format. Here was a way that they could actually create that very easily on their own.